You're listening to Potential Cast Season 3, Episode 4, Beauty and the Beast. Buffy's fear that Oz could have killed a student during a full moon is compounded when she runs into Angel, Violet, and Feral during her nightly patrol.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Debbie.
I'm Emilio.
I'm Tim.
Shut up, Tim.
Shut up, Tim is back. He wasn't that bad a jerk after all. We let him back.
Yeah, I guess I'm neither annoying or a jerk, and you guys want me back.
Right on.
Thanks for having me back.
We're contractually obligated to have you back.
A lot of things happened to me in the week. I got into a pretty bad car accident. I lost my left foot.
That was $15 well spent.
Yeah.
Oops.
$15.
I know.
You know, I got a little like claw instead of a foot.
That's what you get with private insurance.
I asked if I could get the taquito treatment and get a cloven hoof.
As opposed to an uncloven hoof?
Yeah, well, you know.
Cloven.
So, yeah, it's been a hard week, but I'm glad to join you guys again. Thanks for having me.
You're definitely a trooper, Tim.
Yes.
Maybe you guys will feel bad and not call me a jerk this time.
Yeah, Jim.
This episode for me was simultaneously awesome and shit. There are clearly distinct crappy parts, and
yes,
if you could pooper scoop them out,
it would be a great episode.
Fantastic. Just brilliant, except for all the crap.
Yeah.
But at least it was easily identifiable crap.
Was the crap named Debbie and Pete?
Yeah.
Pete and Debbie didn't belong.
No.
They were afterthoughts that were tacked on.
Well,
because
okay.
You didn't
very
need
after
Pete.
School specially.
You didn't need Pete for any of it. You didn't even need Pete to figure things out at the end.
No.
But, okay, well, look at it this way. It could have been worse. It could have been an entire episode of Pete and Debbie. Because
but
in season one,
like
that's
was.
What it would have been.
It felt like it was an entire episode of Pete and Debbie.
Wait, guys. Who were Pete and Debbie? All I remember is the glistening, hairless, unnecessarily shirtless Angel.
Hold on. Where's
there
my
were
first
other scenes?
Notes? My first note.
Where did he get pants from?
That's my note. Where did
Angel
get pants? Exclamation mark, question mark, exclamation mark. That was my note right before my note that says CSI Sunnydale. Yeah.
They couldn't have him walking around naked.
Why? Why, damn it?
Wasn't it on at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday or something?
Because I think it's the same instance of in Surprise, he gets out of bed naked and then he's outside fully clothed.
Yes.
He can't be outside totally naked.
Magical?
That makes sense.
No, but no. Faith can. It's a sexist world. It is. It's a sexist world. Men rule the world, but if they want to be all humble and not naked outside when they have immense heartburn, they can get away with that.
Well, actually, the reason he had to put pants on was, he's a vampire, right, guys? You guys know that spoiler alert, Angel's a vampire.
He's a very polite vampire.
He's a vampire, and in the daylight, vampires shrivel and die. Well, what you don't know, at nighttime, when, you know, they just come out of a demon dimension, other things shrivel, and so pants are necessary.
Shrinkage?
Yeah, there possibly. Shrinkage?
Hmm. Vampire mm-hmm. shrinkage.
Hmm.
Going in the vault.
Oh, my God.
With a vegetable shower?
Yeah.
So...
Feedback.
Oh yeah.
I don't think we have any.
I think we have feedback for this episode.
Do we?
Yeah.
Shelley.
In the Gmail.
Oh right, yes.
Inbox. Shelley Roth.
Shelley.
Hi Gaxon, guest of the week.
Hi.
I know this episode ranks pretty low for most people, and I admit that I wasn't crazy about it the first time I saw it. Thought it was a bit too after-school special.
Yes,
abusive boyfriends, all men are beasts, not to mention smoking kills. And of course, there was a little bit of Go Fish Part 2.
Oh.
I hated the way Pete looked when he changed. Mm-hmm. The positives for me are the narrative bookends. Love how Buffy's voice fades into Willow's at the beginning. I do appreciate contrasting the inner beasts, demons of Oz, Angel and Pete. They all struggle with this in different ways, and Pete was the only one who really chose to become what he became. But I really just did not like the whole Pete Debbie storyline, and Scott just bugs me. Thank you, Shelley. Scott bugs me too. Of course, as usual, there were some great lines, misleads, and action sequences, and Angel is back! I remember being really curious about how they were going to pull that off. After all, he is in the opening credits, and you can't have a flashback in every episode. Can you?
Yes. I do enjoy Bangle. It was called Lost.
I do enjoy Bangel. So even though it was kind of corny, I like that they played the Buffy Angel theme after he said her name and fell to his knees.
That was awesome.
Okay. So I know you guys by now, and you're probably thinking, now we get old boring Angel back again. We'll see. All I'll say is that there's lots of fabulous stuff coming. Love you guys. Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley.
By the way, the way I said that at the end, just imagine jazz hands.
I love that scene at the end when he said her name, and the look on Buffy's face was priceless. And I'm not a fan of Sarah Michelle Gellar's acting, but... the way that she was just like the, oh, it was fantastic. I thought it was great.
Cause she didn't know if he was going to attack her or what.
Or anything. Oh, yeah. So perfect.
It was very good.
I loved it.
You
and
know,
thank you, Shelley, for saying it was after school specially, because I felt the exact same way. It's like they have a checklist of the things we need to discuss. 90s hardcore topics, gay person, AIDS, okay, abusive relationships, check. Sorry.
Going to some feedback on the Potential Cast Facebook group. We have some episode-specific feedback for this episode. And... here's one from Nikki Faith. Can't wait to hear your responses to Faith, but I already saw some lack of enthusiasm about Beauty and the Beast. I say it's all worth it for that final scene where Angel remembers Buffy's name. I tear up every time. I know some of you dig Angelus more than Angel, but I'm hoping you all come to love him by the end of this season. Taryn says, I cry at the end of Beauty and the Beast every time. Just the way that he holds her and you see that one tear rolling down her face. Beautiful.
Love it.
Val Pass says, not a fan of Beauty and the Beast, though. That and another episode are my least favorites of season 3, and Feral Angel is still more interesting than Angel. I can't wait to hear what Gak say when Teary Angel emerges at the end of the episode. I think I have an idea, though. Just the way that he holds her and you see that one tear rolling her, down her face. Sarah Michelle Gellar is great at that stuff. Loved her emotion there without saying a word. What will they think of Scott? He gets points for liking Buster Keaton, but that's it for me. Really, Buster Keaton? Come on, hipsters! Leave it alone! Like a century ago.
Was I the only person when watching this episode the first time that when Angel came out and he was Feral Angel, I kind of thought he was Angelus, maybe. So I naturally was like, oh, he got busy in the demon dimension.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have that thought.
No,
but,
neither did I.
I have this one very important note here that I'd like to get to, because I think we're out of a lot of feedback, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a very
I have some feedback, actually.
is it from Hector? No. Did Hector write in again?
Hector did.
Awesome. does it start with tail?
As old as time.
As
it can be.
Barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly.
Wow, that
just
sounds dirty coming
change.
From you.
Small to say the least. But both a little scared, neither one prepared. Beauty and the...
Your Americanized French-Canadian accent is sounding a little bit more older British woman who solves crime.
Hector, Hector's been known to, write on the typewriter and solve this.
Nice.
Angela Lansbury impression.
I have a very important note here. When Buffy asks Giles, what if someone came back? And Giles says, no one's ever known to come back from the demon dimension. I'm like, hold up! A couple episodes ago, season premiere, isn't Buffy someone who successfully returned from the demon dimension? Isn't that a documented case of someone coming back from the demon dimension? It wasn't so hard. Just find the tar pit on the ceiling, yo. It took Angel that long to find a frickin' ladder?
Yes. Well, Buffy had to drop the clattering in the perfect spot in that church.
I hope we get some backstory on how that happened. Hello?
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 Stefania?
Hola?
Wait, she might have just fainted, like Willow did.
Oh, man.
Is she in the demon dimension?
Stephanie, can you hear us? If you can hear us, type something. Oh, she's gone. She went offline.
She was taken away.
And she even says so. Yeah, I remembered when he talks about the time moving differently. I mean, I can understand
S-O-D.
Suspension of disbelief, but that's right there in the same page of the script.
Yes. But I wonder why Buffy always keeps things from her friends.
Because she's watched Lost.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Because she kept from them that she...
I think
that
it's called a narrative
turned,
device, and it's there
he
to...
He turned back to Angel... Yeah. Before she killed him, and now he's back.
It's called the writer probably worked on Days of Our Lives for a year, which means they had to write a week's worth of dialogue.
Also, she's a girl.
What?
Now that's incredibly sexist.
Well, it's a fact. She is a girl.
Your implication is sexist, Tim.
What's happening with Stephanie?
Stephanie, are you back?
No, I don't think so. Looks
like
we have to
back.
Call her back.
Weird.
Typing into conversation.
Oh,
hello.
Hello.
Hi. So, it's ringing.
Tim is a
hello,
jerk.
Are you back?
Why'd she type that?
Are you back, Steph?
Hey.
Sorry.
Steph, are you back?
Yeah, I've been, coming in and out this whole time. Like, sometimes I will miss everything that's said.
Oh, that sucks. Sorry, Steph.
Yeah. That time it just couldn't fix
that's
itself.
Why you don't laugh at my jokes.
Yes, that's why. So we were saying, why is this Buffy being in the demon dimension not acknowledged? In the same page where they say nobody's gotten out of the demon dimension, she mentions having been in the demon dimension because she says she remembers how time moved differently. Ah,
I don't know.
Well, it's as good an answer as I'll get from anybody else.
Speaking of the time shift in the demon dimension, guys, I have a question for you potentials. Mm-hmm. Remind me, how old is Angel?
He was 200 and something. He's probably going to be 300 and something else now, or even older.
Right? Mm-hmm. That should be right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he spent like 200 years in the demon dimension.
I guess. Well, we haven't heard any official word on that yet.
Yeah,
don't spoil me with obscure facts.
I'm not. There's no spoilers there. This is merely a question.
All right. I don't know how old he is.
So, like, in our time, how long is 200 demon years again?
I'm afraid to ask Google because I'll probably get spoiled.
My question is, if you live in a demon dimension, even for, like, you know, however long he's been gone, do you count that up on your age if you're a vampire? You've been I'm 270,
time has been experienced.
But
time has passed for you. So, yeah, it's just like being a time traveler.
Hmm.
If you're living out of phase, you're living out of phase. It doesn't mean that you're not living the amount of time that you're actually perceiving. I mean, whether it's perceived time or experienced time can be debated. I mean, if he has no outside point of reference other than himself, how long he's actually been there, then we'll actually never know. But if you're living out of phase, it doesn't mean you're not aging. You're still aging. You're just living at a, or experiencing time at a different rate than people outside the, you know, the particular phase you're in.
But when you're a vampire and you aren't aging, is your age based on others' perspective of you? Like,
no,
people who are experiencing
time? I'd
say time?
It's based on age is based on how long you have actually been experiencing events passing by. Whether the events are moving along at one rate or another shouldn't matter. The fact that you're experiencing events that are limited inside of a time-space continuum construct, whatever it is you're in, compared to something else, doesn't matter. It matters that you are experiencing a second for as long as a second is. If a second where you are is a different length from a second somewhere else, it doesn't matter. You still experience that second. So if he's experienced, if he brought his iPhone with him, and it basically showed that he's now in the year, you know, 2400 something, because it also experienced time going by. I don't know, we'd find a USB port to charge that thing, but that's another question altogether. Then, I mean, that's the time that's gone by for him.
Yeah, but what if, like, in the demon dimension, it's not like a normal lunar or solar cycle where it's like one day. Maybe he experienced only one day in the demon dimension.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's possible.
But then when he comes back, it's been like 200 human years later.
No, he's
right?
Come back.
Or is the opposite way around?
But, like, he's come back. It's just been the summer in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But for him, it was hundreds of years of torture, which is why he comes back all messed up.
And wet.
But
well,
isn't
the
demon ground the opposite way? Because when they went through the tar pit ceiling, mm-hmm. didn't it make them age faster when they came back?
No, it's not that they age faster. It's that if you are somewhere where time moves much more quickly...
Mm-hmm.
The time you're away to an independent observer is maybe 4 days, but you have actually experienced 40 years.
40 years,
because time's moving more quickly for you. But you're not actually aging once you're not aging at a different weight than anybody else. It's that time is moving faster because you're out of phase. The actual passage of time in one part of space is going to be different than a different part of space.
Yeah, but if you aged 40 years when you're in the demon dimension, when you come back, you're going to be 40 years older.
You are, but you're not going to be aging any faster. You just will have had aged while you're away.
Wait, but
like,
how does the smoke
Cordelia
monster come into
Aunt
this?
There's no smoke monster in Buffy yet.
Yeah, I was just thinking, what are we talking about?
Oh, demon dimension.
Okay, so Illyrio, basically what you're saying, Illyrio, is Angel's age should be 270 whatever at plus however long he's been in demon dimension.
Yes, within the demon dimension's passage of time perspective.
Okay.
Yeah, that is what I believe his age should be. Oh, Xander's such a jerk face. Like, I think he's doing it on purpose now. I think this is all...
Being a jerk face.
I'm Xander. I'm untouchable. Nobody can. I think he's going to get his face punched in soon. That's what I'm hoping for.
Probably.
I really hope
by
Xander
all
gets...
three girls at once.
Mm. Ooh.
Not bad.
I just don't get how he can be in love with Buffy, date Cordelia, and also feel so protective of Willow.
And fawn
He's
over
a guy.
Yeah, right in front of his girlfriend. That's just rude. Rude! Rude. Douche. Well,
she's talking about being
knows
naked.
This.
What, Kim?
She's talking about being naked all the time.
No, I said Kim.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, I'm saying Cordelia knows that he loves Buffy. And I don't get why she would want to
be with
him.
We totally forgot. One of the best quotes. Oh, no. Is it here? Is it here or the next one? Is the previous one or this episode where she offered to dress up as a slayer and put a stake to his throat?
I think that was last episode.
Tell me that's not sarcasm. Oh, boy. Oh, Xander, you man-child. He's just terrible.
Oh, Xander hate. Jeez.
Oh. You know, I started out loving him. I started out liking him. And now I'm just like, ugh. I'm so sick of him.
I'm getting tired of his antics.
Like Oz?
Oz, it's more of his attitude and smugness. Because he's cool, but he knows he's cool. And he knows he's cool. Yeah. Xander, it's just, he's being a dumbass on purpose. Like, it was cute, and now it's just annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the whole curling up with a good book thing and using it as a pillow. If you plan on sleeping, just bring a freaking pillow. Don't sleep on a book.
Mm. Well, what if you guys were Xander? Think about who he's surrounded by. Like, all of his friends are special in their own very own ways.
Exactly.
And how is he special? I mean, even Cordelia is, like, you know, attractive and popular.
It's true, though. It's very true. What's
Xander?
The Slayer.
Yep.
Willow's the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Giles is the Watcher. He doesn't have a distinct role yet. He doesn't have a title. I think he wants one.
Oz is Teen Wolf.
Yeah, Oz is Teen Wolf. I forgot about Oz. And now Faith is Slayer Part 2, so he needs something to call his own.
So douchebaggery it is.
I think where it flipped, the switch flipped in me, was that whole Willow in the hospital. You're my best friend, and I love you. And, like, I think that's what did it.
Hmm.
And now I just... My eyes roll when he comes on, and I'm just kind of, I'm over him, and I miss Spike, and I want Spike back.
You do, huh?
I do, I miss him!
I don't think Xander was saying, I love you, and like, I am in love with you. He was just like a love of a friend, human being.
Oh yeah, I agree. I still think, I don't think it was the romantic love, but it's still just kind of, I don't know, it just something about it just irritated me. And then his constant fawning over Buffy that continues right in front of his girlfriend. Granted, it's Cordelia, and I'm not in love with Cordelia, but I am slowly, surely warming up to her, and I just think it's disrespectful when he's being a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy in high school, so.
Yep.
Yeah, guys are douches.
Totally.
He's just going through a phase.
He's just so incredibly irresponsible. Who shows up to monitor a werewolf planning on going to sleep?
Yeah. Okay, like this is what I was going
to
say.
To get negative attention. He's like my 4.5-year-old.
Well, okay, this is what I don't understand. Xander wakes up and realizes the window's open when Giles comes in and gets on to him for sleeping. And they realize that Oz exited the library through the open window. A few minutes later, Willow and Oz come into the library, and Oz is like, hey, what's up? Why is everybody so upset? Shouldn't he have been first alarmed when he woke up in the woods and he did not wake up in the library?
No, he did wake up in the library because Xander says he was there when you woke up?
Yeah.
Remember?
Okay, so...
So Oz came back in. He snuck back in. Or he never left.
Or he never left, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was open, but he probably never left. He probably never left.
I thought he never left.
Yeah, that's what happened.
He probably never left. So as a werewolf, a werewolf could have exited through the window and then come back in.
Well, he probably just never left. They just thought he left because someone died. He probably never left.
Also, you're missing the fact that not only did the werewolf go and come back, but he decided not to eat the douche who was sleeping 3 feet away from him.
Yeah.
Okay.
He never left. That has to be it.
When Oz becomes a werewolf, does he remember what he does as a werewolf? No?
I don't think so. Or else he would have known.
Yeah,
I didn't
kill
him. I was humping a fire hydrant.
When Oz
and that is, it's kind of address later, too.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. When Oz becomes a werewolf, don't you guys think he, like, must smell terrible? He looks like he smells awful.
Yeah. Am I the only one not at all impressed with the new werewolf costume?
No. His first one was good.
I'd rather have the oversized head with the mouth that doesn't close than this kind of smushed up, I don't know.
Dog suit.
No, the face, too. It was
face.
It was like, what are you, a monkey man? Uh-huh. Like it looked like that white gorilla from the Star Trek episode where Jim thinks he's a Native American in outer space.
Well, and I mean, Oz is a young dude, right? Why is, as a werewolf, he's graying already? He's got that white stripe down his body.
It's weird.
He covers his hair all the time.
It's just very weird.
And wouldn't you think he would, like, be a red werewolf? He's a red-headed man.
But he's only a redhead
he
sometimes.
He would be a ginger werewolf.
Yeah, sometimes because he's blonde, sometimes he's red.
Yeah, sometimes it's red. Yeah, it changes. It was changing constantly, and it was making me nuts.
Although my Christine's hair is like that. I actually mentioned to her this morning in the kids' room with very low light that her hair looked really like red, like redhead red. And she's a strawberry blonde, which is, she's definitely a ginger, but it looks more blondish. But in certain lighting, it's really red. In other lighting, it just looks blonde.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, sometimes it looks brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably just, you know, stuff. Just
wash. Which is a lot.
Like my son's mittens today. Oh, dear God.
I have a question. Did anybody notice that Mr. Platt has a red orb of Thessala on his desk?
Didn't notice it.
No.
I will post it.
Orb watch.
Post it. Why was he smoking?
I have here. You can't smoke in school.
Yeah.
That's not the boys' room.
Smoking kills. That's what the poster used to say.
Yes.
Was it just that, because that would be a really creepy image of holding the burned, completely burned cigarette, and when you see that, I don't know. That he's been mauled.
S.O.D.
But isn't it sad that Buffy is searching for somebody to connect with and to share her? Why can't she share this with the Scoobies? Why can't she?
I know.
Out. The saddest part is she is the Slayer, and she stands there for 2.5 minutes talking to a back of a chair and doesn't realize, oh, wait, let me finish. Don't say anything. I want to keep on talking. Please do not say anything. Okay, I'm done talking. What's wrong with your cigarette? How do the vampires not get a drop on her ever? I mean, she should have been killed 100
times. Vampires
are
stupid.
Mystery. They just come running at her. You know, oh, I'm a vampire. I'll run at you and kill you.
One at a time.
I think there's part of Buffy that doesn't trust the people she sees every day. Like, I remember having a discussion with this about somebody about, think about somebody that you're never going to see again, ever, even though Buffy didn't think that. Mm-hmm. But think about something you're never going to see again. You'll tell them something about you that you wouldn't even tell people that you see every day, because guess what? There's not going to be any repercussions because I'm not going to see them tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But it's just the fact of getting it out.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of where it started with Buffy and the dude, the smoking guy. What's his name?
Dr. Platt.
Mr. Platt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Platt.
Is that why you guys are being so open with me tonight? You're never going to have to
Possibly. No, but I think it's just somebody different that she could speak her true feelings to without feeling like she was being judged.
It's daddy issues, too. You know, she has that weird relationship with dad. And she's always looking for a male figure, like in Giles. But she can't always share everything with Giles because with Giles, he can't just be the father figure because he's also her boss, technically, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's work and family life. And so she's always looking for someone who will be open to her because she's estranged with her dad.
And let's face it, who's going to confide anything with the world's worst mother?
Yes. Sorry, Joyce.
Don't apologize. She deserves it.
Na 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 na.
Very mature. Wrong okay. episode.
No.
Well, but okay, y'all need to explain the Joyce hate.
Explain it.
I think we did in the last three episodes.
I think Joyce puts herself before Buffy.
Steph, yeah, you like Joyce?
Stephanie loves Joyce.
Mm-hmm. I love Joyce.
Okay, so I've seen every episode. I don't like Joyce either.
Okay.
I find her annoying and unsupportive.
She's worse than unsupportive. Yeah. In last week's episode, and I forgot to mention this, Joyce is talking to Faith and then jabs at Buffy in front of her and in front of her new friend. And just like the lack of empathy that she shows to her daughter is repugnant. I don't care. I understand. I'm hoping, you know, I'll be open minded if Joyce can come back. But this character to me should not be a parent, because when you're a parent, you have to put your kids' interests before yours, and she doesn't do that. I don't think she's capable of doing that, and that's why I don't like Joyce.
Doesn't she even say something along the lines like, "I wish you were more like Faith"? Didn't she say that, or no?
I'm making that up. I don't think she said that, but this whole kind of trying to undermine what Buffy is, and you know, saying, "Well, maybe she could take over for you." You know what? That's not what you're supposed to be doing. You just want things to go back the way you thought they were because you can't handle it. And you know what? Your daughter is gay. I mean, a vampire slayer. And you're just going to have to face that fact, and you're going to have to deal with it. And if you can't deal with it, do something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So what Joyce was, she did mention something about you need to be more like Faith when Faith is positive.
Yeah.
You know, she's she's like, "Oh, Buffy, you're so negative. Yeah. You should be more positive."
Right in front of her.
She's a slayer. Everyone wants to kill her. I mean, let her be negative.
And you know what? And it comes out. I know this is from last week, but whatever. And it comes out with, "I hate your life." As soon as she finds out that Buffy apparently died once, "I hate your life." Like, you know what? It's not yours, though. So get over it. I think Joyce has issues of her own, and I don't think she's being a very good mother. I can understand Joyce's predicament as a human being dealing with a family member that's actually, you know, some kind of supernatural mystical figure with a destiny. But as a parent, as someone who has to put their child's interests first and maybe kind of forego their own preference for things, I think that this kind of allegory for parents of homosexual kids is a really good one. And it's all well and good to walk in the parade, but if you're not going to be supportive, then please be quiet and stay out of the way. And I don't think she can be supportive of Buffy. I think she's undermining what Buffy is.
Well, I don't think I don't think Joyce is a great mother, but I think she's a very realistic mother. I think that you can say that you're going to accept your child for exactly who they are and then turn around and want to change everything about them to make them fit what your expectations. I think she's realistic. I don't think she, you know, I'd never say she's a good mother. I think she's a realistic mother.
She's also annoying to us because she's a thorn in Buffy's side. She is just something that keeps Buffy from being able to, you know, live a easier life as a slayer. She's got to always consider Joyce, and now Joyce knows she's a slayer. It's a whole nother set of issues. It's not just sneaking out of the house and getting grounded. It's like, okay, now my mom's worried I'm going to get killed every week, and I should stay away from, you know, a certain vampire.
But it's so different because when we really got a good look at Joyce for the first time was in School Hard, right? Yeah. And that when she was kind of like, wow, mom's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then every episode since then, she has become progressively less cool, more annoying, more selfish.
It's the selfishness that bothers me.
Yeah.
So if for those wondering, that's where my Joyce hate is nested. Gabby?
I don't hate her.
Okay, good.
Maybe Joyce wants to be the slayer.
She missed her calling. She turned it down when it was her turn.
Yeah, maybe.
Now she's resentful of her daughter for saying yes. and not
so
rejecting it.
So that's what her big problem is?
Maybe.
They need to have a Freaky Friday moment where they both get to experience each other's lives.
I love that movie.
That's a good idea.
Well, I really enjoyed the original with Jodie Foster.
The first one, yeah. Mm. All right, what else were we talking
about?
But
really, I don't know.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Seth.
Anything but Pete. Right.
It's not.
Or Debbie. Not our Debbie, though.
But okay, we had to have Pete because we have Oz and Angel as monsters, and we had to have the contrast of, you know, just like Giles said, that, you know, there's two kinds of monsters. There's the monster that tries to
redeem himself,
and then the one that embraces the chaos, or whatever he said. Mm-hmm. So we had to have something in the story to contrast Oz and Angels.
Did we have to make him an abusive boyfriend, though?
Yes.
Because that part was unnecessary. I mean, I understand the importance of talking about that, because 95% of, you know, women who are abused by their partner. So it's very important that that comes up. Unfortunately, every time it comes up, it seems like a caricature and a stereotype, and it's not really dealt with properly. I mean, come on, can you get even more caricature and stereotype than "my boyfriend drank a potion and now he beats me up"? that's the worst. That's the worst possible type of after school special. It's not relatable to anyone. So why put it in there?
Well, I don't want to say that they're dumbing it down, but in a way that they are dumbing it down and making it
appeal.
Yeah, exactly. Because if they made it any more complex,
over the head with it.
If they made it any more complex, it would either be missed by some people, or it would do a disservice to the episode, because the episode was not about abusive relationships; it was about the characters. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was done. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, I'm not making a joke here. Do you guys find it at all sexist? Because every week we see Buffy beat up guys. And, you know, rarely does Buffy beat up another female, ever. It's all males attacking her. And she ultimately is... Is it because this guy is a monster himself and he's beating up his girlfriend? I mean, we've seen monsters beat up Willow 110 times. I mean, Oz attacks Willow how often?
Well, he doesn't stop her from embarrassing herself in public for his own enjoyment, so I think that's abusive.
I think with Buffy, because we know how physically strong she is, that it's more on an even playing field. But at the same time, Buffy does get her ass kicked every so often, even though she technically, quote-unquote, wins the fight every time. Mm-hmm. They get in a few good licks on her.
That's what she said.
Yeah. As soon as I said it, I was like, damn it. But yeah, okay, I think that's why... Yeah. Anyways,
can we get to a really, really important point?
Of course.
We found out in this episode, to my dismay, that marshmallows are not fruit. And I am very, very upset by this.
Of course. Of course. Poor Scott.
I have another vampire question. vampires are cold and dead, right? They're basically living corpses that need blood to sustain them, right?
That's the story.
Correct? Mm-hmm. So are we to assume they can feel hot and cold temperatures?
I guess
they can.
Because Angel was shivering a lot, and I assume Demon Dimension's very humid.
from the moistness?
Yeah. He's like, he's like from the moistness. that's why he also, you know, when he was struggling to get free, did he work up a sweat? I mean, I don't think vampires can sweat.
The stairwell is right by the moisturizing spritzing station. It's that little side door.
Yeah. I think it was just an excuse to oil them up.
How many times
yeah,
is Giles...
Yeah, and it's just like...
Sorry, go ahead.
It's just like the vampire smoking deal. I mean, it doesn't...
It's just cool.
You
man.
Just have
it's,
to
it's just cool.
sod it.
It's just cool, yeah. John. Just embrace it, John.
man, I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, sorry, Steph. I was just trying to. I was just trying to be funny with a Paul McCartney John Lennon hybrid impersonation.
About I thought that was Giles.
No, we had our first ever monster showdown.
Did we?
Yeah. The Mr.
What?
Hyde
yeah.
of Pete and Oz. In wolf form.
Oh, yeah.
Monster fight.
I blocked it out.
You blocked it out? Yeah. It was awful.
Everything to do with Pete and Debbie, I just kind of rolled my eyes at.
How many times are we going to see Giles get hit by someone shooting something behind him?
Oh, that was so great.
Oh, I get...
That's
I got,
a drinking gang.
Is it?
Every time Giles gets hit.
You're
going to
get very drunk
ass.
So far. It's like twice.
But he gets knocked out, shot.
Oh,
you know,
so anytime he's like the victim of some stray friendly yeah. fire thing? Is it a friendly fire
love
thing?
It. Love
That's
it.
Funny. when Willow and Buffy confront Debbie.
Oh,
and then
God.
Debbie refuses. And says, or else what? Or something like that. And Willow says, that's the wrong answer. It's like all of a sudden Willow and Buffy are like a bully twosome.
Like the mob.
They're like the mob, man. Button pushers.
They're like, tell us the truth or we'll beat you like your boyfriend beat you.
Because the only way to stop violence is with more violence.
Or Gatorade.
Yes. Okay.
Did y'all notice?
Go ahead.
The scene where Willow and Xander and Cordelia go to the morgue to get evidence to try to exonerate Willow has a
CSI
lunchbox.
Yeah.
Is it Scooby Doo lunchbox?
Scoobies.
Nice.
Yeah. It was darling.
Yeah. When they go there to do crime.
Why did she faint?
Because
she was keeping
she was
it all
also,
together.
Also grossed out, too.
Okay.
But she had
hey,
to
some people
it,
just yeah. have conditions where they go, ooh.
He finally shut up.
A podcast by Robbie. Sorry. Oh,
I thought
sorry
you were
about
just, I thought you were narcoleptic. So Angel saves the day. He comes
Gosh,
in and saves the day.
Pete with the chains, yeah.
yeah. Okay. Why was Angel in a Kunta Kinte pose for half the episode?
Because he was in shackles.
That's all I could think of. Hey, is that LeVar? No, it's David Boreanaz.
David Boreanaz.
Oh, man. That was weird. That was a little off-putting. That whole
why didn't Buffy get him a shirt? I mean, that was my whole thing. Is like, this guy needs a shirt.
Tim, I don't think you're seeing this from the proper perspective. There's certain people.
He found pants. Why didn't he find a shirt?
Don't
at least a scarf.
Okay.
Something.
Would you go to the Louvre and cover the Mona Lisa with a blanket? Would you go to a Bugatti dealership? And turn off all the lights so no one could see the Veyrons and the Veyron Sports. Would you go...
So you're saying you like David Boreanaz's chest.
No, what I'm saying is that great works of art, great things of beauty, should not be concealed. And David Boreanaz has reached a point of sex symbol status and appealing abs.
He is eye candy.
Were you to give him a shirt, you would lose a great proportion of the demographic.
All I'm asking for is a couple of pasties.
I have no idea what was just said.
I don't
That's even better.
Does anybody have any other points before I collapse?
Hey, nah. Can vampires get tattoos?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, well, I was talking about this today, actually, with Robin, and my understanding is, like, their body heals, and, like, tattooing is a type of scarring, and I would assume that it would heal.
That's one of those sodding things.
It isn't so much scarring, it's painting.
Yeah, but, it's got paint in it as well, yeah.
It's not like he has great artworks in the form of scarification. Those wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But tattoos, I mean, all you're doing is you're putting ink subcutaneously.
Under the skin, so tattoos would work.
But wouldn't his body still reject the pain and push it out eventually? I know that that in comic books, Wolverine can't get a tattoo because his body heals so rapidly.
Yeah, no, that's because he's Canadian.
Mm-hmm. And he has magnets in his body. He's got steel in his body.
Adamantium!
Sorry! Good Lord.
Yes, good Lord. That's exactly what I would say to that as well.
Sorry. Wolverine's too far. Okay, I got it.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't he from Edmonton or something?
I think he's from Red Deer.
Red Deer, Alberta.
Mm-hmm. Any more points? Steph, are you there?
I'm here. Awesome. For the time being.
I'm sorry you're having a hard time listening to us.
Steph's feeling like she's having a conversation with the back of a chair and no one's there.
I feel like I'm in a hell dimension.
Just watch the cigarettes.
Cigarette will burn. She'd be like, what?
Any more points?
I don't think so.
No. You're right. It was shitty and at the same time, awesome.
It was. It was one of these Shot'em episodes. It was Shot'em.
It's a Shot'em episode.
Yes, and they shot Giles. Shot'em. They shot him right good. In the derriere. Tip, tip.
Are you going to rate this?
Rate the episode?
I will give this 8.5 out of 10 because everything at the end with Angel and Buffy totally redeemed this episode from getting a 2 or a 3. So I will give it 8.5 shackled angels out of 10.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, I would have gave it a 9 if it was just the Oz and the Angel and Buffy stuff. But the Pete and Debbie stuff brought it down to a 7 out of 10. Ham-fisted, heavy-handed after-school special story.
Yes.
Gabby should go last. Tim?
Yes.
I wasn't a big fan of this episode because Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, after-school special, anti-smoking campaign, all that stuff made me want to give it a 5 out of 10 tranquilized British buttoxes.
Awesome. I am going to give this episode an 8. That's right. Because all that crappy stuff can be ignored, and all that awesome stuff is so, so awesome.
Completely made up for it.
So good. I'm going to give this episode 8 out of 10 Discmans.
Oh my gosh, can you believe that people used to carry those gigantic things around? Oh, that's so funny.
I should have sang that song.
Gabby?
I am clearly the odd man out on this one. I freaking hated this episode. Hated it.
And everything?
Well, see, that's the problem. I didn't hate everything, but the stuff that I hated made me, it just took away all the good in the episode. I watched it as soon as we stopped recording last time. I watched the Faith, Hope, and Trick and this right away. And I hated this episode so much, I had to force myself to rewatch it last night. Oh, and I couldn't even get all the way through to the end, and I completely forgot about the Angel sang Buffy thing. It was just so heavy-handed and just totally sucked all the fun and good stuff out of this episode for me. So there's my rant, and I'm giving it 2 out of 10 rabbis.
Wow. 2 out of 10
rabbis. Awesome. Uh-huh.
Well,
didn't I like it?
If you disagree with us or if you agree with us, let us know.
Please
email can
do.
Be sent to
potentialcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. Go to potentialcast.com to check out show notes. You can comment on episodes there. Or you can do more. You can go to Facebook.
You can call
us. We have a contest going. You have a contest going. Oh, I forgot the voicemail number last time. 27040-BUFFY is the number to use on your telephone device. We have a contest going. We want to see you dressed like a 1990s fashion victim.
Yes.
Do you want the DVD set or not? Send us your submissions.
I can't believe we haven't gotten any photos yet.
We haven't gotten any photos yet, and I think, unfortunately, maybe most of the people in the group already have the complete series, and the entire aspect of this contest and making them work hard is a little bit difficult. So maybe we'll throw in an autographed T-shirt.
Can you give that autographed T-shirt to Angel?
He can put it on in this episode. Yes.
Yeah.
When do we see Angelus come back? Is it next episode? Because I think I'm already tired of Angel.
Aww.
The way he said Buffy was a little bit too.
I like that.
Buffy. Is that you? I'm so sensitive, you know.
You guys are going to love the spinoff of Buffy Angel. You guys are just going to have 10 out of 10s every episode.
I'm thinking about you. You're the one that made me go through everything down there. They made me watch reruns of 2.5 Men. And that show hasn't even started yet. They traveled through time. And I had to watch it over. John Cryer is so boring.
They also showed me Bones. Terrible.
I look fat. All right, I think it's time for everybody to join the Facebook group or else. Quote time.
I'll go lock myself in the cage.
Great, now I'm going to be stuck with serious thoughts all day.
Awesome.
Mine goes with that. Pete was a monster? Where have I been?
Where was she?
Yeah, it was weird, eh?
Yeah, eh? How about that?
Don't make fun of my accent.
Oh, snap.
And my affectations.
The writers were like, oh, we have nothing for our useless character to do. Let's just not have her be in this episode.
She was off at the tanning salon.
Yes, that's where she was.
Gabby, quote?
Well, Wolf you, not you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Every man from Manimal to Mr. I Love the English Patient has Beast in him. Oh, my favorite though was that could be Oz, Angel, or Pete. Oh, right. Bloody priceless.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. What's our homework?
Next week. Oh, it's a lot of people's favorite. Or not favorite, but it's a lot of people like this, really like this episode. Homecoming.
Hey. Yeah.
Is there a dance in this song?
Sort of, but not really.
Oh, I know which episode this is.
Is there a football game in this episode?
No.
This is my wife's absolute favorite episode.
Really?
Yes.
To me, it's okay. I don't know.
I think it's just because of one scene.
Angel shirtless again.
That's enough.
There's no spoilers there.
Tim, thank you for joining us again. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. And I want to apologize now for the emails that are going to flood in requesting me come back. So I apologize. I know at least Hector might write in. And,
Remind us again where people can hear you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. ShutUpTimPodcast.com. You can hear me and my brother-in-law talk about nothing important, nothing Buffy-related at least.
Oh, good. So it's spoiler-free then.
It's spoiler-free unless
awesome.
Unless you like the Jersey Shore or the Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Are you thinking about that last bit?
No, Robbie really like the Disney Channel is one of Robbie's favorite shows. So if you want to hear spoilers about the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody also, come join us at ShutUpTimPodcast.com. We have a lot of fun and we talk about every and anything. Nice.
That is awesome.
That is fantastic. All right. Well, thanks again, everybody. And bye.
Bye.
Slay you later.
Yes. Yeah. Slay you later. Awesome.
I'm
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Illyrio.
Hello. Can you guys hear Steph?
Yes.
Can Steph hear us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what y'all are saying.
We were laughing because Tim wanted pasties.
I can hear y'all.
He wanted pasties. Hello. Someone's cutting in and out, and I'm worried it's me.
It's not you.
Hello.
Stephanie.
It's me.
Pasties.
It's me. Yes.
Tim wanted pasties. She won't get it.
I'm being honest.
Yes.
She won't get it until she hears the podcast.
That'll be fine.
She's like, oh, I get it now.
Gabby changed her Skype avatar.
I did, see?
Awesome.
Yep. I didn't want to post it yet because I don't want to spoil anybody that hasn't seen this episode yet.
I can't make it bigger, though. Wait, what?
What?
The
Give me time.
you really want to?